listening to an episode of the Let's Netflix and Chill podcast, hosted by Reese Chanson.
Tyler Perry has somehow pulled a magic trick under the bag. His films are usually mediocre in the sense that it's always a black woman in trouble and she needs a man to save her. And it's usually a light-skinned man who saves her from a crazy dark-skinned man who's rich or wealthy or powerful. He's got something going on in his life, or something crumbles in his life, and he blames his wife or his girlfriend, and he starts beating her. And in comes the low-income average Joe, who happens to be light-skinned for some weird reason, to save her. Diary of a Black Woman, these type of films. They're always the same. Even in the Madea series, there have been these short line stories, a similar situation happening. Now, when I saw Tyler Perry did this, wrote, produced, and directed this film, I expected the same type of vibe. I saw the trailer, I thought, yeah, all his trailers are always good somehow, and then it's the same corny shit. But sadly, that's not the case here. Or awesomely, that's not the case here. The Jazzman's Blues follows this young man, Bayou, and his lover, Leanne, through their time together. You know, it shows his abuse, the way he grew up, the rivalry he had with his brother, Willie Earl, the fact that he and Willie Earl, his brother, didn't have the same father. So the man who married her, his mother, treated him differently in a way, and he took him for a fool because he was a slow learner in some type of way. And somehow Leanne taught him how to read, you know, and be a better person in a way. And of course, she has a troubled past herself. Her grandfather was sexually abusing her. So this show is really rich. It's well written. And of course, she somehow escapes that life where she's molested or raped, or I don't know how to put it, by her grandfather, because Bo wants to marry her, and somehow her mother, Leanne's mother, shows up and takes her away. And it seems like all hope is lost. Bayou joins the army, ends up leaving because of an injury. He comes back, finds his mother doing well. You know, but he's a natural-born singer, so he sings sometime at his mama club. You know, and his brother has been gone for a while. Since his brother turned 19, he left home and tried to look for his father in Chicago and become a musician of some sort. So during the premise of this, he reappears, comes back home with this white man, with this white German fella, this white Jew, who's sick. Sick because he's taking that cocaine, he's taking that heroin, he taking pipe up his veins. And somehow his mother had him made. I have a problem with Tyler Perry. Every goddamn character who's a powerful female, a presence, is always named Hattie Mae. I don't know if everyone has realized this. Every film this guy makes, the powerful motherly or grandmotherly persona or character is always named Hattie Mae for some weird reason. I don't know why. But that's what it is. So Hattie Mae fix up this white man, and somehow they, well, as they're about to leave, news comes that the white folk are gonna kill you, by you, so you got to get on. Why are the white folks killing or trying to kill Bayou? Because his former girlfriend, his first love, the woman he told he loved, the first kiss, his first everything, the woman taught him how to read, has resurfaced, has come back in town, but she's passing. Passing is a term they used back in the day where black folks that are mixed, you know, light-skinned folks, were able to mingle with white folks and convince them that they are white folks. So they were passing, cheating, or in a way, pretending to be a different race to have better outcome, better circumstances in such a way. So that in itself brings an interesting spectrum to it. So while Bayou was out there just minding his own business, delivering laundry because his mother does laundry, he encounters his love passing as some rich, you know, some white girl. But the odd part is she doesn't change her name. She still uses the same name, happens to be white, because I guess her mother was half white and she probably married a, you know, a white man or got with a white man and somehow, you know, long story short, they're still in love with each other. And somehow throughout all this, one of these days, Leanne fucks my man Bayou in a car and Leanne's mother sees this shit and she tells the sheriff, who happens to be Leanne's brother-in-law and Leanne's husband, who happens to be the mayor, that Bayou whistled at his wife. Now, back in the day, my understanding, this has a similarity to the story of Emmett Till. He was also accused of whistling at a white woman and he got himself killed. But of course, later on, it was discovered that he didn't actually do that. So it's similar in that sense, you know, the whistling. And the same story, he didn't do it. He actually fucked her. And the worst part is she's not even white. So what's the point? And Leanne crumbles to the pressure. She cries. She's thinking about telling them, I'm a black woman. And her mother's like, they're going to kill us if you tell them we black. They're going to kill everybody in this goddamn town for fooling them. Tomfoolery in a way. Long story short, the white people take torches and picket forks all the way to Hiding Man's place and they try to kill Bayou. But the message reaches Bayou and his mother and his brother Earl and this white gentleman who happens to be, I don't know his name, this white German man, that they're going to kill you, boy. Get on. So he gets in a car and he heads to Chicago with his brother and this agent of theirs. And they got an addition at this great place. So they get there. The owner of the place is not impressed for some weird reason. And the white fella, the German fella, the Jew fella says, you boys wait right here. I'm going to talk to that man. Somehow, Willie Earl is so entitled. He's such a prick. And of course, he's high on heroin pretty much at the time. And his father pretty much destroyed his marbles because he told him he had to be given literally everything. He felt entitled because he was great. Of course, he was great. He was a great singer. He was a great trumpet player. So he's mad. He storms off the building. And this white man comes downstairs and he says, Bayou, stand on that stage and sing, my boy. He doesn't say it that way, but you get the point. So Bayou does his singing. The owner of this establishment is impressed. And Bayou gets a gig. And somehow they convinced the owner established to hire his brother as a trumpet player in the band. And that seems to be working well. They're doing well. They got records. They're playing every night. They're making money. But greed and jealousy is the death of any man. His brother is jealous. He wants to be center stage. Of course, he's high on heroin again. But of course, Bayou was worried about his mother, he's worried about his lover, who's married to a white man, who happens to be a mayor, who happens to have a brother who's a sheriff, so he's in hot soup. So he convinces his manager and brother, like, I gotta go home and help mama, you know, since the whole incident of the police and the white folk coming with torches. His mama had been making money, and he'd been trying to send his mama money in the mail, and the postman been stealing his money, so the mama couldn't get the money. They'd be opening envelopes and taking the money, reading letters and shit. That's some crazy shit. So you couldn't say something scandalous in a letter for white folk read it. Goddamn. Now, Bayou was an idiot. I don't get what you say. This boy was moved by love. This boy was moved by idiocy. This woman, first of all, is married. We're not even going to talk about the part of her being molested and raped in her younger years. You loved it. Doesn't matter. You love a woman. You love a woman. That's a fact. But this woman is married to a white man. A white man in the 1940s where they hang a nigga for whistling at a girl. Goddamn. For looking funny, they will hang a nigga for that. And you want to steal this white man woman. What you thinking, child? What you thinking? You finna get us killed. Anyway, long story short, Bayou convinced the band to go back home and go back in Georgia and do a gig and help his mama's establishment, his mama's club, his mama's jukebox arena. get some traction. Farley's there. He informs Leanne, I'm going to steal you and our son for some weird reason. I don't know what's wrong with this boy. This boy crazy. Great writing by Tyler Perry, by the way. So he goes there, and Leanne's like, no, nigga, get the fuck out of here. They coming with them torches again. And he's like, I ain't running this time. I'm going to be man. And they hang his ass, and he died. Now, they hang his ass, he died. Now, how did they find out that Bayou was in town? His brother. His brother snitched on his own brother out of jealousy and spite. Wow. I am not my brother's keeper, but I will kill him if he steals my shine. Goddamn. Willie killed his brother. I know love killed Bayou, but it was forgotten. They had forgotten about the whistleblower. And by my calculation, he would have stole that girl and left town. They wouldn't even think it was him. And the worst part is, why does he have to go to her? Couldn't she pack up her bags, get in a car, and drive to Chicago? Doesn't make sense. She white. She can go wherever she wants. She passing as white. She confusing a few people. You confused a mayor of a town. You white. Why don't you just pack up and head on? But whatever. Anyway, the film starts off in a very cool way. This old lady, who I'm supposed to assume is Bayou's mother, but then they make it weird because Leanne is older and everybody seems to be old, way older than they should be. Like, for instance, this lady worked for Leanne is there. And she's younger than Leanne. For some weird reason, she looks younger, more radiant. And Leanne looks like some old hag. Now, I'm assuming the lady who gave that boy Jonathan letters from Bayou is Bayou's mother. Because that's what I thought. So, how is Leanne and Bayou's mother looking the same? That's just weird, Tyler Perry. What the fuck is that? That's just a weird combination. That's a weird combination, man. But the beauty of it is Leanne is still in love with Bayou. She plays the same song every day about the same boy she loved. It's beautiful. And it's so great that in the end you see this young man, Jonathan, who's a son of Bayou and Leanne. He half black, really. Noticing that he's a black man sitting on a porch with the Confederate flag flying, I don't know what word you want to use. He's been raised all his life, hating all these niggas. I'm discovering he one of them. God damn. I bet he felt his world crushing down and he couldn't take it. Tyler Perry, you done it again. This is some great shit. Top to bottom. Of course, I already mentioned the things I have issues with, but it's not a big deal. It doesn't really take away from the story. The story is quite impeccable, quite incredible. Really well written, really well thought. Amazing stuff, Tyler. Amazing stuff. I think you've hit the bag. You're doing great deals with Netflix, my man, and they letting you do that shit. They're giving you a lot of money. I know you had beef with Spike Lee and everybody out in Hollywood. They said, man, you mediocre. You're making crazy films. I was one of them people. But after watching this film, you're great. You've been always been great. But this writing you did here, it was nothing like you ever written. I'm not saying I watched everything you've written. But this here was original in such a way that it felt different. It felt like you didn't write it. It felt perfect. Now, of course, the gruesome part of them killing Bayou was not portrayed because you're not Quentin Tarantino, so you're not going to show that. But the whole thing, man. So, question is, what killed Bayou? What is his brother? Was it the white man? Was it love? He was killed by passion. Passion to follow his love, passion of the white man not to be disrespected by no Negro, passion for his brother to outshine his little brother, passion. Passion killed him, love killed him, jealousy killed him, Hate killed him. And overall, stupidity killed him. His own stupidity led to his own death. But it takes a real man to love like that. The love, knowing that it might lead to his death. That's the kind of love women want. Sadly, ain't the kind of love they'll get these days. Niggas don't play like that. Because y'all want equality. So, if you don't die for me, I don't die for you. Case closed. Anyway, thank you again, man. It's a great film. A Jazz Man's Blues. Great stuff, Tyler. Great stuff. Now, that was entertaining. You just listened to an episode of the Let's Netflix and Chill podcast with Reese Jansen. With that being said, remember to support the podcast on Patreon. And let's hang out another time. Adios, folks. Adios.